Chapter 3, verses 15 through 22. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod, the tetrarch, because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased."
Amen. Thank you, Todd. How does that make you feel when you think back over your lifetime, when maybe a parent or grandparent or maybe your boss or someone said to you, "Great job, A plus, 2 stars on your paper"? You remember those days? Remember one of those, any moments like that? Just continue to be part of who you are. I'm sure there is. There's many of those moments in life that just continue to be a part of who we are, no matter what age we may get. I'm one, I like to make sure I thank people and encourage them. And, you know, I like to think of myself as a Barnabas, one who brings encouragement wherever I go. And I want to be that type of person. And I've been blessed that the Lord has created me in that way, that I have that tendency to be the encourager, that, hey, the cup's half full. Hey, we're almost there. Hey, you ain't got a couple more chapters. You can get through that. Hey, oh, you got 5 out of 10? All right, next, let's get 7 out of 10 next time. You know, be that encourager. And as we think about what the Lord, what God said to Jesus, we got to think about the people that John was ministering to. Everyday people. People that were trying to figure things out. And it even tells us that they were beginning to think, well, maybe John's the Messiah. May he's the Savior. May he's the Great One. But the Lord knew that the time was right for things to be made clear of who Jesus was and what the purpose of John was as he was baptizing to cleanse the people of their sin. But Jesus is so much more as the one and only. Now, you may have heard of these things before, and I really don't know if it's official drought information or maybe just one of those non-official drought information. It's from a few years ago. You may have heard it before, but I just want to share it with you that there was a time that it was so dry in Georgia. You know where Georgia is, right? You know, down south, down there in Georgia, that the Baptists started to baptize by the sprinkling of water instead of dunking everyone. You know, the water was running so short. And down south there, the Methodists, they began to just use wet wipes, you know, because they just trying to conserve on the water. And there, the Presbyterians, they were just giving out rain checks. You know, they just passing out some rain checks. And then, you know, those Catholics down there, they began to pray that the wine would be turned back into water. You know, they's reversing it. You know, now, we're not here to debate about the formality or the actual type of baptism.
That's why we're not here for that. We're not here to debate the best way to baptize. But many over the years have asked, why Jesus? Why was Jesus baptized? And the scholars have debated this for many years. This question has been bounced around in many circles and many avenues and taken in many directions. John the Baptist, his baptism was for the new believer. The new believer. For others to see that I'm coming, I need forgiveness of my sin. And he would baptize them. And through that baptism, you know, they would believe that they was one with the Lord. They was protected from that final day of judgment. And with John the Baptist being the forerunner of Jesus, why then would Jesus need to submit and be baptized? Another question debated often. Why would Jesus need any protection even from the judgment day? When he was God and he is God and he is perfect and Jesus as the Lord and Savior, why would he be baptized? Well, there's three reasons, and each has truth and each has weight for behind the reasoning. First, we need to realize and we need to remember that Jesus, he was not guilty. He was not guilty of anything, any sin, any mistake, or any misspoken words, or anything at all. He was perfection. Jesus was perfect. But yet, Jesus wanted, and Jesus knew that he needed to be consecrated for the holy work and for the holy word of God to be fulfilled, to do ministry that was ahead of him, the ministry that was now to begin. Christ at his baptism, he took upon himself the cross and the burdens of all of ours, all of our crosses, all of our burdens. And he carried it until the final death on the cross. That wooden cross at Calvary. He carried all this sin of the world, of every person, every generation. Remember where he came from. He came out of the perfect place, the most holy place. He came from heaven. And even in his perfection, as he left his heavenly home, he came down to this earth. He became a homeless man. He became this person that really had no table or chair, nowhere to rest. But he came. And we read there in verse 15, as the people began to wonder if is John really the Messiah? Is John more than what he's telling us? And God knew these thoughts would come up, and God knew the people were thinking these thoughts were taking place, and he knew the moment had come for the ministry of John the Baptist to be noticed as a message. A message. What was that message? Prepare thyself. Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Prepare thyself. In verse 16, John says, I just baptize with plain, old, everyday water. It's not even about how or where or what. It's about being baptized. It's just water, but so symbolic, so meaningful. But the one, there is one more powerful than I, he says, that will baptize with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So Jesus, at his baptism, he took the common upon himself, and he had to. He had to so that the righteousness and God's plan of salvation could be fulfilled. It is not known if John and Jesus would have met before this. It is not known if they would have had any type of conversation. But we can suspect that It's not like they had got together for coffee a week earlier and said, hey, Jesus, I'm going to be down baptizing at the Jordan. You know, about midday, I want you to show up and come in, make your appearance. And, you know, I'm going to tell them that I'm not worthy to baptize you, Jesus, but you come on in and we'll do that thing. It wasn't pre-planned. It wasn't premeditated by human beings. But God had it planned. God had it laid out how he wanted it to happen and how it was going to play out, how it would be written in Scripture so that we're still reading about it, preaching about it, and we're still trying to learn from it today in 2022. So it's not known if John and Jesus had ever met before publicly. John had lived in Judea while Jesus was over here in Galilee. But when Jesus came to John, John knew that was going to be a special moment. He knew then and there. He knew that he was not worthy to even touch the straps of Jesus' sandals. You can read more about it in Matthew chapter 3. It gives a few more details, such as, you know, John now realized the holiness of Christ, and John said, I need to be baptized by you, Jesus. But here in Luke chapter 3, Luke goes on and he talks about what John continues to do. He doesn't stop and say, hey, forget about you. I'm going to give my time and attention to Jesus. No, he continues to preach, and he continues to talk about this good news. And he goes on and he rebukes the king. He rebukes Herod and the tetrarch, and because of his marriage to his brother's wife. John has this holy boldness that we're talking about that we need to muster up, and the Holy Spirit needs to fill up in us. John the Baptist has this holy boldness, then he shoots it straight. He's shooting straight with the people. He's getting right to the point. Repent and be baptized. And this Jesus, the Son of God, who came to be your Lord and be your Savior, he came to show the way. John came to prepare the way for Jesus, and now Jesus comes to show the way. Jesus humbled himself. He knew he was sinless. Jesus knew where he came from. He knew he was to fulfill God's plan, this eternal plan of salvation. Yet Jesus, he did not parade around. He did not brag about how good he was or where he came from or how God was his Father. He was humble. He was caring. He was loving. He was holy. He was peace-giving. He was comforting. I have yet to find a place in Scripture that when Jesus encountered anyone, that he came and brought turmoil. When he showed up, he brought healing, peace, love, conversation. Yeah, he had to show up there in the temple and do some temple cleaning for the people that were abusing the situation. But yet he was right. He was the truth. He was Jesus. All outgoing, all outflowing, all giving, all going out for everyone else, for other people. People that he loved. All people he loves. People like you, people like me, everyone in this whole world he loves. Because righteousness without love ceases to be righteousness. Remember that. Righteousness without love ceases to be righteousness. When you're not being loving, when you're being hateful, when you're gnawing on somebody, you're not being righteous. Righteousness without love ceases to be righteousness. at the baptism of Jesus Christ, he took the sin of mankind upon himself, while at the same time, he did not become part of that sin. He did not participate in sin. He did not allow it to take over him. He took it upon him, and he carried it. He carried it to the cross. By doing so, because he was still man, he's able to experience, and he shared as he carried shame, pain, suffering, heartache, brokenness. The list goes on and on. He was able to carry it. But yet it did not filtrate within his holiness. It did not darken his white perfection. What is white? That snow, white as snow. That's how he cleanses us. I mean, I've mentioned before when Angie and the team went to Haiti to share in a week's worth of vacation Bible school teaching and lessons with the kids, and you know, her lesson was about the wordless book. You know, black is sin and red is the blood of Jesus and so forth. And when they got to white, the missionary, the lady that has spent her whole life down there, says they don't know what snow is. They don't know what snow is. So you say white as a inside of a coconut. That's what they understand. That's what they can relate to. So we might not appreciate the things that are going on in the world today. You may wish you were born 100 years ago or 50 years ago and in another time frame when things were, what we read about, seemed different. But the people are still the same. You are here now because you have been chosen by God to be here now, to live through this time frame, to live in this community, to be part of the ministry of this church, to be part of whatever school you're part of, to whatever your job location may be. God has you and has work for you to do right there where you are. Because you have a way, because of his creation, because of his doing, you're going to have a way to communicate with those around you. Just as those children in Haiti needed to hear about to be cleansed of their sin and to become white as the inside of a coconut. They needed to hear it in their own terms and what they could relate to. So you may be in a place that it might be a tough work environment, maybe with a tough boss, it might be tough whatever. It may be in a tough committee. And all of a sudden you find yourself, you're the chairperson. But God has you where he wants you. And you're going to bring to the table what needs brought to the table if you're allowing Jesus to be your one and only. If you're in that prayer time with him each and every day, he's going to come to the table with you and he's going to speak through you. We all have breaking moments. We all have moments when the world puts us to our knees. And it's different for all of us. And some of us may never see that within each other. But let's be honest, we all have those moments. If we talk about them or if we don't. If others see them or if nobody sees them. If our family sees it but nobody else. We all have these breaking moments. And even I, after a while, have moments that, and the things pile up on me. I just have to take a moment. I have to have a good cry. There's something about a good cry that, for me, releases the tension. For me, releases the frustration. For me, releases the heartache. For me, it separates the broken things from who I am. And that I can't be out here and all around trying to hold all the broken things together for everyone else. For me, in that moment, my wife will tell you she's seen those moments at times. And she knows those are serious moments where together we pour our needs out to the Lord. We surrender and quit trying to hold the things together that we cannot hold together, because we're not meant to hold them together. The Lord reserves that for Himself. Jesus taking upon Himself all of our tension, all of our frustration, all of our heartache, all of our brokenness, and not just ours, but the whole wide world. All of humanity He took upon Himself. And there's only one way that that is possible. And what is that? Who is He? Where did He come from? Because He is the Son of God. Because He is God. Because He is the Word. Because He is the truth. Because He is the light. All those things. He is the cornerstone that does not tremble, even though we stand on it and we tremble. And finally, Jesus chose. He chose to be baptized. He chose to submit Himself. That step in that plan of fulfilling God's plan of salvation. Because He knew He had a destiny. He had that God's plan to fulfill. And He trusted. He obeyed. He knew this commission that God laid upon Him. And within that inward stirring, He was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would come and empower Jesus to live that perfect life. If you continue to read on Luke, take a look at chapter 4. Jesus has His baptism in 3. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He goes right into the wilderness, where Satan comes knocking. Satan comes gnawing. Satan comes with all the tricks in the trick bag. But Jesus withstands all those tricks and all that deception. Jesus conquered sin so that we can turn to Him and no longer feel hopeless and lonely, so that we no longer feel that our lives are meaningless. We turn to Jesus. He gives us meaning. He gives our lives meaning. He gives us purpose. If you want to read about how God shows no favoritism, no partiality, you can turn to Acts chapter 10, verses 33 through 34. You can read about that. Because the good news of the gospel is not for a select people. It's for all people, for every nation. Anyone who fears God and does what is right with God and asks for forgiveness will be forgiven. Whoever believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins. As members of the United Methodist Church, we are baptized and we claim that we have asked for forgiveness of our sins. We take those vows and we say that we recognize those evil forces and that we will reject them and we'll reject the things of the world. We'll reject this and that. Over the years, Christians and God-fearing men and women have done many things to display their passion and commitment to Jesus Christ. What have you done? What happens in your life between Sundays that shows your commitment? There was an article written in the Sports Spectrum by Ken Walker. He told that after a Monday night football game in 1990, several players did something that had never done before. When the game ended between the 49ers and the New York Giants, 8 players from both teams huddled in the center in the middle of the field. They bowed their They bowed to their knees, and they began to pray together in the name of Jesus Christ. That brief prayer meeting caught attention and gained a lot of visibility over the years. And it continued in some games and some teams. Another highlight moment was Reggie White of the 1997 Super Bowl champions, Green Bay Packers. They didn't pray about who was going to win the game or asking the Lord to help them win. They prayed an acknowledgement of who God is and that all men would see that God exists. The players took a lot of heat for this public stance. Sports Illustrated, Sports Illustrated, a magazine, advised the players to pray in private. The NFL even made noise for a while as though they were going to shut down these prayer times. But the players stood firm. They were willing to be even fined, to have a fine, and to pay out money for their prayer huddles and for their prayer time to continue. We all will have a moment of truth. Some of us will have many, but there will at least be a few that you will have in your Christian walk. A moment of truth for you, the believer, when you will need to decide if you're going to take this moment and publicly identify with Jesus Christ. Jesus is willing to identify with you right now in 2022. Are you willing to identify with Jesus right now in 2022? It can be simple things, everyday things I'm talking about, but it can be grand things, daily things, praying over your meal at the restaurant before you eat, carrying your Bible, wearing some type of pin, cross, necklace, earrings, bracelets, mentioning the Lord's work in your life in an everyday conversation. Little things solidify your commitment to Christ. The little things solidify your commitment to Christ. The world is watching, they're listening, they're looking. They want to hear about personal testimony, and they want to see the acts of Jesus in action through the church, in action in this world. They're looking for Jesus. They need to see what the Savior is all about. You may be the only Bible they ever read. Your words, your actions, your life. So I encourage you today, let us identify with Christ this year in 2022. Let us pray. Oh Lord, with our lives identifying with you this year in all that we do and say, Lord, it's not for our own good doing, it's not for our own good, but it is for you, Jesus, because you are our Lord and Savior. There was a time that we didn't have you and we needed to see you in someone else. We needed someone else to tell us about you. We needed to be one with you. So Lord Jesus, we are here now to be used by you. And as we identify with you, Lord, we leave the outcome up to you, for you to be glorified, for others to come to know you, for your church to grow here on earth, for that plan of eternal salvation to be fulfilled, that glorious plan. Father God, we are here, we are yours, and we love you. And in your name we pray. Amen.